You're listening to another football episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns with Banker Bill.
Ryan, you should get off the internet.
And your guy, Bully Rye.
I think it's a brilliant idea.
Well, I'm hoping you could dance to this if it actually plays.
Oh,
there
yeah.
it is. All right, everybody, welcome
song.
To another live episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns. As always, it's your guy, Bully Rye. And we have a special, I wouldn't call him a guest. We've got the return of Banker Bill. Bill, what's going on, bud? How was your vacation?
It was good, man. I mean, it was for my wife. We have really close birthdays in the same month and our anniversaries in the same month. So we kind of try to do something combined. That's my song. I like that. Try to do something combined. So that's what it was, man. We went on a cruise. We went out to Nassau, Bahamas and sat on the beach for a little bit. It was a good time. I didn't get a tan, though. Can you tell? Not much.
No, not much tan. Yeah, I came back when we went on our cruise. I came back extremely like dark and Caribbean. Not really, actually. We did stay a lot at the adults only pool.
It was the pool. Yeah, it sounds creepy when you say that way, like the adults only pool. Like, hey,
but it was also very like shaded in a way. Like it was at the back of the boat. There's a lot of umbrellas. But yeah, I'm glad you had a good time. Listen. I want to start the show. First of all, if you're watching live, make sure you leave a comment wherever it is that you're watching so that we can include you and make you a part of the show. I will say that we are over three quarters of the way to 1,000 followers after last week. So I want to take a second and thank all of the new followers. Thank everyone who shared the Facebook page to help grow our brand
super
this
cool.
much. Quicker. We are now officially on the road to 1,000 followers. So make sure you invite your friends to follow the show as well, even on this Thanksgiving week. Sam Morris in the chat already. Congrats on getting to the 750 follower mark. Sam, I hope you stick around because we are going to answer your question here on the show. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get to it. We are at college football. We are at rivalry week. Try to say that five times fast, Bill. Rivalry week.
I'm not going to say it at all, honestly. Yeah, I'm just going to let you keep saying it.
Yeah. So we have reached rivalry week in college football. And I mean, we're that much closer to the end of the season. I mean, we get conference championships next week. And then we are officially in a bowl season and basketball fans rejoice because they get to watch college basketball on Saturdays again. And in the interest of college football rivalry week, Bill, who would you put up there in the top of your list of your best college football rivalries of all time?
Do you want you said the top five, right? So you want my top five?
Yeah, let's go ahead and hear your top five.
All right. So I looked for competitiveness and national implications in my top five. It's kind of what I was looking for. There are some really good rivalries out there that have national implications this season, but really don't do it every single season, right? So my top five, Michigan, Ohio State.
Yep.
That one seems to make a difference in the college football playoff every single year. Maybe not as much as important this year, but it has been in the past, Florida, Georgia.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one, dude.
A little bit of a homer one for me. And then, of course, the Red River Shootout. I will never call it the Red River Rivalry. I loved it that it was called the Shootout. Texas, Oklahoma. I think that one's huge every single season. Great, great competitive. I have the records for these too, Ryan. I did all kinds of research for this. But another big one, Alabama, Auburn. I love that rivalry. This is the Iron Bowl. I'm going to call it something. And then my number five is USC, Notre Dame. I love that
Notre Dame is good.
That's a interconference rivalry. It's kind of weird. But since I was a kid, I remember Rodney Peete versus Tony Rice, which you probably don't even know who those – maybe Rodney Peete because he played for your
not
team.
Rodney
but
Peete.
Tony Rice, not so much. But way back in the day, I remember that game being a big deal when Miami was good. So those are my top five. I have a couple – or three honorable mentions. Ready?
Sure.
Army-Navy.
Good.
Yeah. Minnesota-Wisconsin, the battle for the Paul Bunyaks.
All right.
I like that one. And then Harvard-Yale. It's like the one that's been played the most. Yeah, that's one that's been played the most. That the Minnesota Wisconsin one is pretty amazing. You want to hear this? The record on that one is 62-62-8. They're even right now. Yeah, that's crazy, right?
Man.
And then Harvard Yale 69-61-8. They've played that game, 138 times. That's insanity.
So Listen, I'm going to homer for a minute. The South Carolina Clemson game
had played. I didn't give you any. I know.
I know you didn't. But they had played, I want to say, like upwards of 100-plus games in a row until COVID hit. And the SEC decided we're not going to play out-of-conference games. And that ended that streak. It also ended the streak of Florida-Florida State, which I'm surprised you didn't mention. And then over the years, you kind of see rivalries like Texas-Texas A&M, Florida-Miami. Some of those kind of go by the wayside.
Having a war canoe.
Yeah. So, listen, if I'm talking college football, you hit on a bunch of mine. And in no particular order, I had the Iron Bowl on there with Auburn and Alabama. I'd probably put Florida-Georgia up there as well. I, too, like the Red River Shootout, the Red River Rivalry, Oklahoma-Texas. Michigan-Ohio State. I mean, listen, every year that game means something because one of those teams generally are competing for a national title or at least a conference title. And then my homer pick is going to be Carolina Clemson because of how – now, granted, listen, it has not been competitive, okay? I'm going to have people that are going to come on the show, some new followers that have reached out to me personally and said, you better give Clemson their fair shake because I'm not watching if you're going to be a Carolina homer the entire time you're on the show. If you look at the numbers – the Carolina-Clemson rivalry, I'll talk about them in Homer's Corner tonight. It has not been close. And every time Carolina wins, Clemson fans are quick to remind you how far the gap is between the two teams in regards to wins. But with some of the stories behind these games, there was one year where South Carolina got a fraternity onto the field in Clemson uniforms and basically played Keystone Cops during pregame warmups that make Clemson look just really obnoxious, really, really bad, really goofy. You had the fight back in 2004 that resulted in both teams getting kicked out or essentially being taken out of bowl games in a Clemson victory up in Clemson Memorial Stadium because Death Valley's over in Louisiana. It's rivalry week, man.
I know. I heard it called that last week, and I went, you thought that was LSU.
Yeah, it is LSU. Mm. You're absolutely right. Stop stealing stuff. So there's been a lot of fun stuff that's happened in that rivalry. And again, it's close to home. It is and always will be my number one rivalry, even if Clemson fans are quick to remind you that it's not really a rivalry because of the win discrepancy. Again, if you're watching the show live, make sure you leave a comment wherever it is you're watching. Facebook.com/tapoutsandtouchdowns, Twitter @tapoutsandtds, or on YouTube. Leave a comment. We'll read it on the air. You can join the conversation with us. Now, having said that, Bill, We've got a super packed pigskin pick'em, podcast pick'em today. We're going to be picking 8 games, 4 out of college, 4 out of pro. But looking ahead at college football week 13, rivalry weekend, what are some of the best rivalry games you're looking forward to watching the most this weekend?
I have 3. And all 3 of mine have massive playoff implications.
Yep.
Okay. First one, of course, the big game. We're all going to be watching this one at noon. Thank you, Fubo TV, for having 4K. I'm sure they're going to have it. It's Fox. So noon on Fox, 4K. Let's go. Ohio State, Michigan. Obviously, everybody is good. I actually told my wife, I told her today, I said, hey, by the way, on Saturday at noon, don't ask me to do anything because I'm going to be watching a football game for about 3.5 hours.
Don't talk to me.
Don't talk to me. Leave me alone. I don't care about either one of these teams, but this is the game for the season. This is huge.
Okay, hold on. I want to try something. This is something that you can throw at her. If she does, I hope that this plays. I hope that it does. But if she does try to talk to you, you could also always try to hit her with one of those.
Because I'm bringing the mother.
Yeah, so you could always hit her with one of those. Who knows?
I don't even know why I would say that to her. But yeah, it would probably get me in trouble for a while.
You don't talk to me because I'm bringing the mother effing pain.
And honestly, all day long, it's going to be a bad day on Saturday. I hope she realizes that. I don't know if she's watching the show right now. But the next game is also on Fox. I'm going to have 4K for like 8 hours. It's going to be wonderful. It's the Apple Cup, man. Washington, Washington State. This one's huge. It's in Seattle. Washington has to win this game if they want to get to the – well, not – they're probably – I think they are in the Pac-12 championship regardless of what happens here. Mm-hmm. But if they want to get to the college football playoff, they have to win this game. Washington State is a pretty good team. They're going bowling this year. And this game always seems to be close where you think it's going to be a blowout. Washington looks like the much better team this season, but this game's going to be close. Washington has to win it. The game after that, the one you just mentioned, Florida-Florida State. It is weird because both starting quarterbacks are hurt. And Florida State is trying to play for the college football playoff. They will no longer have Jordan Travis. And how good is Tate Rodemaker? We will find out on Saturday night, 7 p.m. on ESPN, all day long. I'll be watching football all day long. I even looked at the 10:30 games, Ryan. I didn't care about Utah State. I don't even know what was playing.
Yeah. Listen, I'm still debating making the truck down to Columbia. Mm. They have announced because former president will be at the game. They have announced due to, you haven't heard this?
No.
Donald Trump is going to be at the South Carolina Clemson game. Yeah.
Why? Why?
Take that for what it's worth. We wanted the same thing. We both want to know.
The greatest fan.
It's such a rivalry. It's such huge, huge rivalry. Great for the state of South Carolina. Going to be a great game.
I can't even do it.
Best game of all time. Best game of all time. Huge
game.
Let's see. We got a comment here.
Making you even better.
Volley Polly's in here. Preemptively throw a flag on Banker Bill for giving me the business in the episode because he knows you're going to give me the business, apparently. Mm-hmm. So I'm debating whether or not I want to make the truck down to the game. They're opening parking lots early.
It's huge.
On Saturday. I haven't found a ticket for cheap. So we'll see what happens. But if not, I've got both of my TVs set up. I am completely satisfied sitting in my house by myself in my underwear watching football the entire day. And when 7 o'clock rolls around, I'll have Carolina on the big screen and I'll have Florida State on the small screen. It's gonna be a fun week of college football.
Ryan, I'm not even gonna watch the Carolina game. There's the business, Polly. I'm not even gonna be watching the Carolina. Sorry, Pat.
Listen, it's a big deal for me because if we win this,
nobody cares outside of South Carolina.
We'll save it for Homer's Corner. But before we get NFL talk, Pedro Guillen came in the Facebook comments this week and wanted to know, because you mentioned Florida State, both quarterbacks are hurt with Jordan Travis having a broken leg. He's announced the end of his college career. Does Florida State still have a chance? They did drop out of the top four this week. Washington bumped up into the fourth spot.
I think that should have been like that before the injury, but now it looks really bad on the football playoff guys, but whatever.
Just now, given the fact that Ohio State or Michigan will lose this weekend, does Florida State still have a shot at the college football playoff without Jordan Travis?
Yes. Yeah, they're still a good football team. The whole team, it wasn't just Jordan Travis. So, yes, they still have a chance. Like I said, how good is Tate? How do I say it? Rotemaker? Nunnemaker. That's why he named you Tate Dirt.
That's why they made you Joe Nunnemaker.
Yeah. So, how good is Tate Rotemaker? I have no idea. Junior out of Valdosta, Georgia. Obviously not the starter, but he didn't play horribly against, South Alabama? But I think South Alabama came into that game 3-7 as a really small. They're just terrible, and he didn't play that well. So we're going to see something against Florida. Florida's got a backup quarterback. This is a huge game, and then moving forward, they have to win out. They have to win out.
I mean, it's literally Florida and the ACC championship game. If they win those two games, you would have to.
ACC championship game is going to be Louisville.
Louisville's a top 10 team at this point now.
I know. And that's going to be tough too. Yeah. So he's got to win out. So do they have a shot? Of course. I think if they win out, they go. But if they don't, which I'm not sure they will, but they still have a shot.
Yeah, I'm with you. Again, if you're watching live on the stream, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube, leave a comment, join the conversation. We're about to talk some NFL and then get into some podcast pick-ems here before we get into fantasy football talk for the last half of the show, or so to speak. So let's get into an NFL recap from week 11. Somebody mentioned a lot of injuries took place this past weekend. You lost Aaron Jones with a sprained MCL in the Packers game against the Chargers. You had Mark Andrews and Joe Burrow both have season-ending injuries on the Thursday night football game. Obviously, if you have to pick one of those teams that has the biggest impact is Joe Burrow, right?
Oh, Cincinnati's done. They're done.
Yeah.
Before kind of calling it right now. We're gonna have the Cincinnati Bengals for Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow night because you might as well cook them and eat them at this. They're done.
Do you think they win another game this season? Or are they that done?
I haven't looked at the schedule. I don't even know who they're going to start at quarterback. Didn't they sign A.J. McCarron a few weeks ago? Put his butt in. He was pretty good when he played for them 4 years ago. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know who they brought in after. I saw the guy that they brought in after Joe Burrow got hurt. I have no idea who he is. I haven't looked it up.
The Browns signed Joe Flacco this week.
I don't understand that. Maybe they're looking for the playoffs Joe Flacco that he was one time in his whole entire life.
Joe Flacco is trash. I have a whole episode, and first of all, Sam coming in, poor Joe Burrow, I'm with you. There's a whole episode in like the first season of this show where I spend 20 minutes giving Joe Flacco the business. If we ever wanted Joe Flacco on the show, He would say a lot of very, very unkind things to me because of the absolute mud that I dragged him through on the show.
Well, that would be if he looked up the Joe Flacco episode.
It's not hard to find. Just
he didn't become a bad quarterback because you gave him the business.
I mean, you're right. He was a bad quarterback before then.
For you to give him the business.
So
he made a lot of money, Ryan. He made a lot of money being bad at his job. One season. He had one season and made tons of money.
Who made more money for having like one good season? Like who was better off after having one good season? Jimbo Fisher getting paid $73 million not to coach Texas A&M next year, or Joe Flacco making the millions of dollars to win one Super Bowl?
I would rather be Jimbo Fisher. He didn't have to get hit by any players.
Coleman Mullins in the chat. He said it's Browning. I can't remember his first name.
He didn't.
But Browning is the new quarterback for Cincinnati.
So. Yeah, I'm not feeling it.
Some pretty significant injuries this late in the season. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Packers when we talk about Lions-Packers in our podcast pick'ems in the next segment. But we are going to talk about Lions here for a second. They are 8-2 for the first time since 1962.
If I do the math, I was
negative 25 when they were last 8-2. the biggest part about it was I was watching this game with a friend and her parents. And it was about, I mean, the game was under 5 minutes to play. They were down 12.
Yeah.
And she looks at me and she says, so basically we don't have a shot. I'm like, no, it's okay. Just give it a second. Let's see what happens. And they make the comeback. And it's capitalized when Aiden Hutchinson knocks the ball out of Justin Fields' hands. Can't cover it for the touchdown, but their offensive lineman kicks it out the back of the end zone for the safety. Listen. The Lions have two losses on the season. One is to the Seahawks in overtime, and the other is to the Philadelphia Eagles. No, is that right? Yeah. No, it was the Ravens, the Baltimore Ravens. I apologize. Both teams are really good, right? The Seahawks not as good as the Ravens. But the Ravens are really good.
I don't know if the Seahawks are really good, but they're good.
Here's the question, because had the Eagles not been able to pull off the win against the Chiefs this Sunday or this past Monday night, the Lions would be the number one seed in the NFC. Not the 49ers, not the Cowboys. It would have been the Lions in the number one spot in the NFC. Well, are the Lions for real?
If my uncle was a girl, he'd be my aunt. Like, what do you mean? It doesn't matter.
My grandmother had wheels, she would have been the bike. God, that was good.
What do you mean? Are they for real? Yes. I mean,
are they a Super Bowl contender?
Yes. You're going to have to go through Philly, but there's not another team in the NFC not named the 49ers that probably has a shot at the Super Bowl. You've probably got three front runners in the NFC, and those three teams are going to beat on each other. What you don't want is to run into both of them in the playoffs. Figure that out, right? But you might. But it's going to be a tough end of the season. And, yes, the Lions are for real.
A couple of comments. First of all, shout out Shannon Smith. He was the guest host on the show last week. Says Jimbo Fisher's never going to be broke again.
No, he's not.
Sam wants to know how confident I am in my Lions this week. She's still alive in Survivor. Take the Lions. The Lions are going to win. We're going to pick that game. But go ahead and feel confident about taking the Lions over the Packers this week.
We are going to pick that game.
Yep. Shannon Smith says his Niners are going to take a scare of Seattle tomorrow. We'll be picking that game too. We've got a special guest. Andy Hunter is going to be in here picking games with us from Washington. So I'm sure he's going to be excited to talk about that game. Matt Buck saying Seattle is decent, not great. And Shannon Smith says, remember, Ryan, looking at you, American League Central, talking about the fact that you know, Detroit is as good as they are. And you know, you had to watch the show last week. Bill,
I did. I was driving though. I was listening to the show, which works very well. Maybe
that was
on the
Cat Cave that we talked about. That I'll pull that clip and I'll bring it to you.
All right.
So we got some rapid fire topics here before we get to our first break. The Giants beat the Commanders. Tim Costello wants to know: is Tommy DeVito the real deal?
No.
Just got lucky,
and that's it.
Caught Washington on a bad week.
Did he get lucky? No. Washington has the worst pass defense in the NFL. Tommy DeVito threw for 7 yards when he came onto the field after Tyrod Taylor and Daniel Jones both got hurt. He threw for 7 yards in one game. That's an amazing, terrible statistic. And he didn't throw for anything the week after that. It was like 100 or 86, I think it was, and he threw for 2 touchdowns, so he looked like a fantasy player. And then he went off last week against the worst pass defense in the NFL. Is he for real? No. No. One time, do you remember Ty Detmer?
Yes.
Do you remember how he came on the – I think he played for the Eagles when Donovan McNabb got hurt and threw for 1 million yards. And it might have – or it might have been Jeff Garcia in the 49ers. I don't know where Ty Detmer was, but he absolutely blew the roof off the place for like 2 or 3 weeks, and Ty Detmer never amounted to anything. So is DeVito for real? No.
All right. Matt Butt coming in the chat. He also wants to say, how about them Gamecocks? That's right. Listen, I'm right there with you, Matt. All right. Next up, the Chargers lose to the Packers last week. They have they've lost some close games, and their head coach got a little snippy with the media in regards to play calling on the defense. I'm not sure if you saw this, but basically told them that they need to stop asking questions, that he's confident with how they coach and how they teach and how he calls plays. And so that the media needs to stop asking questions, that he knows what he's doing. They've just got to put it together. Do you see a restaff happening for the Los Angeles Chargers in the offseason?
If you were the worst passing defense in the NFL and your head coach was supposedly a defensive guru, do you think he should keep his job?
I mean, I think that doesn't make
sense. If you're just looking at it at face value, it doesn't make sense. They have the 11th best rushing defense and the 24th, I'm sorry, the worst passing defense in the NFL. They are awful. They're awful on defense. They're not good at all. So, and you've got Khalil Mack, you've got Bosa. I mean, come on. Like, how are you this bad?
Now, Bosa got hurt last week. I haven't seen the injury update
most of the
on
season.
Him,
but... I mean, we're talking about most of the season. You could say he got hurt. Yeah, that didn't cause him to be the worst passing defense in the NFL.
Oh, you're right.
And they're getting, I think Khalil Mack has 11 sacks on the season. Now, granted, he got 6 of them in one game, but you know, he gets after the quarterback. These guys should be, you know, figuring out how to not get thrown on all game long, and they're losing games because of it. And yes, if you're a defensive head coach and that's happening to you, you should probably get fired.
No, I'm with you. All right, final question here before we go to break. Are the surging Broncos legit? The Broncos have looked really good against some really good teams. They won a game this weekend against another decent team.
They won a game?
I mean, they're sitting at 500 right now. Are the Broncos for real? I mean, your Dolphins beat the ever-loving crap out of this Broncos team this year to the point where, like, everybody was calling for everybody's heads in Denver, and all of a sudden they feel like they've turned it around. And Russell Wilson has quietly had a resurgence here in the last 5 weeks or so. Are the Broncos? Legit?
Somebody might have said that. Somebody in this podcast might have said. Somebody might have drafted him onto his fantasy team because he predicted it. Yeah, Russell Wilson is a good quarterback. I'm sorry, when all the people that oh he's terrible, you're wrong. You don't know football if you think Russell Wilson's a bad quarterback. Sean Payton can coach. He could when he was with the Saints. He's a defensive coach, and they're figuring it out. And he got rid of players, man. He got rid of, was it Randy Gregory that he just cut?
Yeah, I think so. Somebody like that.
Like, whoa. Like, they're figuring out. And they're starting to be a pretty okay team. And, yeah, Miami did hang 70 on what at the time was a team in disarray. They're very bad. Let's not act like they were the same team they are right now, because that wouldn't happen again. But, yeah, the Broncos are figuring – they're the 10th seed in the AFC right now. So, yes, the Broncos are figuring out. 5 weeks ago, we were ready to put them out the pasture.
I mean, back-to-back wins against the Bills and the Vikings. Mm-hmm. Just, it's unbelievable to think of. All right, we're gonna get a break here. First, let's read a couple more comments in the chat. Coleman Mullen is anti-Gamecock. He's pro-Clemson this weekend. Sam reminding him that he's outnumbered. He said, Gamecock's going to be outnumbered by the Tigers on the scoreboard Saturday.
Ooh.
And we got some trash talk in the chat here. Carolina Clemson here. only takes one last year, 31-30.
Oh, my gosh.
Volley probably remembers the show that I had about Flacco, and he's enjoying
That's
it.
That's awesome.
Yep.
That's awesome.
And then your Uncle Gary's in the chat. You had to bring up Miami scoring 70. Yes.
Everybody loves it. Second highest scoring game in the history of the NFL. Should have been the first, but they didn't want to embarrass anybody after putting up 70.
Yeah, 70 is enough. Not unless you're playing Madden, 70 is enough. All right.
Yeah.
We're going to take our first break. When we come back, Andy Hunter will be with us to join us on an oversized podcast pick'em this week.
Oversized.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back right here on Tap Outs and Touchdowns.
This episode is brought to you by Carolina Business Equipment. With offices in Charleston, Greenville, Columbia, and Florence, Carolina Business Equipment can supply your copiers, computers, and printers anywhere in the state of South Carolina. Call my personal best friend, Aaron Thompson, at 843-452-8761 for a quote today, and make sure you tell them that Ryan from Tap House and Touchdown sent you. Carolina Business Equipment, you worry about your business, let us handle your technology.
We're gonna miss this.
Yeah, we are. I mean, listen, we are, but I'm gonna miss this music, the SEC on CBS, but I'm not gonna miss the voice of Gary Gaiman. Let's be honest. Okay, that dude can kick the biggest rock with his smallest toe.
I'm gonna miss this though.
I mean, you could always still watch
for a long time.
Listen, you could always still watch the Big Ten on CBS.
I'm not a Big Ten guy.
I mean, that's except for Rutgers, I gotta watch the games, I suppose.
I know.
So, podcast pick'ems week 12. I need to mention last week, pretty good across the board with picks. Shannon Smith actually made up for his lackluster first appearance and went 4-1 last week, the best picker on the show. Banker Bill and I both went 3-2. We missed the same games, Washington and Oregon State. They only won by 2, so they missed the spread. And then the Chiefs not being able to beat the Eagles was a pretty big deal. So if
Patrick
you look on
Mahomes
the
Mahomes not being able to beat the Eagles,
yeah. Well,
his wide receivers, he throws such a hard ball in the rain. Patrick, you got to throw it a little bit lighter when their gloves and hands are wet. Yeah, these guys are complex. Like throw it at him 100 mile an hour and expect him to catch. That's ridiculous.
So on the season, Baker Mayfield still leads me by a game, 38-21-1, 37-22-1 for your guy Bully Rye.
Still very good.
Okay, so
Ryan, don't feel bad about that being one game behind me for weeks.
I feel great about it. We've still got a lot of NFL to go, so I've got my shot to make that up. Remember, if you're watching the show live, make sure you leave a comment in wherever it is you're listening. Join the conversation as we do picks, and in order to do picks, we have to bring in a very good friend of both of us, more so than you. You've known him longer, Seattle super fan.
Yeah.
For the Seahawks, for the what are they, the Dragons in the NHL?
Sea Dragons,
Sea Biscuits,
loves the Kraken.
All sea stuff in Seattle. Andy Hunter is with us. Andy, what's going on, bud? How's everything?
Andy has terrible internet too.
Not too bad. That's probably what he has. Right. Yeah, it's not the best up this way. So
what's up, brother?
They don't get AT&T fiber out there in Seattle.
Yeah.
No. All right, we're gonna power through this, Andy. Let's go ahead again. We've got 4 games in college, 4 games in the NFL that we're gonna get through this week. Let's start off the 12 o'clock kickoff game. We talked about it earlier in the show. Number two Ohio State, at number 3 Michigan. Michigan, a 3.5-point favorite in this game. At least when I looked at it, I don't think the line has moved. Andy, I'm going to let you start us off here. Who you got? Ohio State at Michigan. And I don't even know what this rivalry is called. But the big game, essentially, for the Big Ten championship.
Yeah, I don't know what that one's called. I'm not sure. But I did a lot, just did a little bit of homework last night and stuff. But I don't know. Michigan's going to be pretty tough to beat in their home stadium, man. That's going to be crazy there. But you know, the strength schedule, I guess, kind of goes with Ohio State. I mean, they're 45th. I think they've had 2 top 10 wins with Notre Dame and Penn State. I'm going to go crazy on a little bit and go with Ohio State on this one.
Ooh. Ooh. Andy, Ohio State. I should mention that the line has moved 0.5 point. It is now a 3-point game for Michigan, and I'll fix that as we're going. Bill, who you got here? Ohio State at Michigan.
What'd you say? The 4-point game?
3-point game.
They 3-point. Oh, wow. 3 so field goal. Wow. Okay. That I think that changes a little bit, but yeah, I am showing the 3-point game. I'm gonna disagree with Andy on this one. I feel like this is a pick'em game, and I think that's what the 3 points, the 3.5 points even shows. I think that this is a really, really close game, and being that Michigan is in the big house, man, it's going to be rocking. Even at noon, if this had been a nighttime game, it would have been much different. But at noon, this can be a great game. I'm looking forward to it. Give me Michigan, and I'll take it, even though they're, you know, the favorite and giving up points on this one.
Yeah, listen, no Jim Harbaugh, no problem. They've still got the people on the sidelines that know what signs are coming thanks to this whole sign-stealing scandal. So there'll be no issue. in Michigan here this weekend. They will win by at least four, which makes them cover. Give me Michigan here in the big rivalry game out of the Big Ten. We're going to go to my most anticipated game of the weekend. Before we do, there's some comments here. Oh, your sister's in the chat. Hey, Tara.
Hey, Tara.
Let's see. We got some people taking Michigan. Matt Buck taking Michigan. Coleman taking Michigan. Shannon saying you're going to need that 12th man tomorrow. Let's see. Sam Morris is taking Michigan. And Shannon Smith is saying, sadly, oh, he's got Ohio State. So let's talk about the Palmetto Bowl that it was named literally 10 years ago.
The Palmetto Bowl. The line has moved on this one, Ryan.
What has the line moved again?
Yeah, 7.5.
It has.
Yeah.
All right, I'll fix that. And listen, we're gonna call it the Carolina Clemson game because that's what we've always called it.
The Palmetto Bowl.
It's not the Palmetto Bowl to us. It's the Carolina Clemson game. Or if you ask Clemson, it's the Clemson Carolina game. But Carolina alphabetically, CA comes before CL, so it's the Carolina Clemson game. Listen, if you didn't watch the Carolina Kentucky game last weekend, that game was not entertaining to watch it at a lot of times because there wasn't a lot of scoring. The game ended 17-14 in favor of the Gamecocks. But for at least the first half, that stadium was crazy. A 7:30 kickoff in Columbia, South Carolina is different than a 3:30 kickoff, than a noon kickoff, than a 7 o'clock kickoff somewhere else. The environment that South Carolina has created with the light show and Bill's favorite song, Sandstorm. South Carolina's crowd can affect the game. Shane Beamer called the student section out to stay for the entire game. They're going to need it this weekend. I'm not saying that South Carolina wins. They need a win in order to go to a bowl game this year. So I'm not going to necessarily say that I take them to win, but I do take them to cover. This game is close. Clemson just announced that one of their best receivers is out for the game this coming weekend. Not that it matters because our secondary is sort of suspect. What's the most suspect is our offensive line. A high school defensive line could get through our offensive line at this point. But I think that Spencer Rattler is going to do what it takes to get this win and at least cover this spread. Give me the Gamecocks. Bill, let's go to you next. Who you got here? South Carolina hosting Clemson as a 7.5-point underdog.
I feel so sad, Ryan, that, I mean, you put this on the board. Nobody cares about this game except for everybody that's listening. And up until last week, I don't think there's a chance in heck that I would have made this call. But I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to go Cox on this one. South Carolina covers. Not only do they cover, but they win this game outright. And you are right. That was a crazy environment. In fact, I saw a video where I think Darude was at the stadium last week.
Yeah, he did like a pre-show concert.
I had no idea. Yeah. And then I saw him and he just didn't look like a normal guy. But was he from South Africa? I have no idea. Anyway,
I think he's Finnish. So that makes him from Finland?
He is Finnish because he had no career whatsoever. Anyway.
Stop it. Andy, who you got here? Clemson at South Carolina.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Bill on this. I'm going to take South Carolina as well.
Wow.
It'd be really cool to see him get a bowl entry, right? And they're both teams are coming off of three-game win streaks here, the last three games. So that's kind of cool too. But I like the upset. I like the underdogs. You know, and I think it's going to be a pretty close game. And I'm looking maybe 21-17, maybe something really close. It should be a really good game.
A month ago, I never would have expected to have South Carolina across the board in this game.
Across the board. After beating Kentucky last week, y'all deserve it, man. You guys took it to a pretty decent team. And, like I said, I just think that South Carolina is getting their stuff together. And that, like you said, that environment, it is going to be tough to play in it. And Kate Klubnik, he runs off the page when he's like, his brain goes crazy and he doesn't play in the system. I think it's going to happen again this week.
So a couple game picks in here. Matt Buck, Gamecocks all day. Trey Toll, South Carolina going to take it and he's going to be cheering. Hey, Trey.
That's not fair. You can't have that picture. You can't have that picture.
If you have an extra ticket or know anybody giving a ticket away or selling a ticket for a reasonable price, let me know. Coleman Mullen, Clemson D-line smashes Carolina. Klubnik has a record-winning game. Cox by 90. I'm right there with you, Sam. And listen, that's two people. Oh, Cox by 10. I thought it said 90. I misread it. Gamecocks by 10. So, all right, let's get to the third game on the slate, and this is the one that Bill is really anticipating. Number 4, Florida State, a 6.5-point favorite on the road at Florida. I want to check to see if this line has changed since I put it up here.
It's not.
Okay.
Yep.
Bill, I'm going to let you start us off here with this one. Your Gators, you mentioned they're going to be without their starting quarterback, but so is Florida State. Does Florida have what it takes to get the upset this weekend?
This game very much changed last week when both starting quarterbacks went down with injury. Like you said, Jordan Travis ended his college career because of it. That's really sad. You don't want to see that. But unfortunately, with that broken leg, you also broke Florida State's entire season, and I think they go down this week to Florida. I'm not sure how bad they go down. I think Florida's backup quarterback is actually pretty good. He pushed Graham Mertz in preseason practice and came in and played pretty well when Mertz went down against Missouri. I think Florida wins this game.
All right, Andy, what say you? Florida State, the number four team. Well, I guess they're the number five team in the country now, too. 6.5-point favorite on the road at Florida. Who you got?
You know, I'm going to take Florida. I think, like, their record should be better than what it looks like, right? I think the games that they play were pretty close games. I think they're a pretty tough team, too. So, you know, I think there's an upset on this one here. So I'm going to take Florida.
For the sake of separation and maybe the reverse jinx, I'm going to go Florida State.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you for making me know for a fact now that Florida's going to win this game.
I think Florida State is good enough on defense. Listen, I know Andy said that their record should be better than it is, but in all fairness, the Gamecocks had that game locked up and completely gave that game away in Columbia to Florida. I still blame the student section. It's the student section's fault. But I'm going to take Florida State. I mean, they're out to prove that they're intended to be a college football playoff team with or without Jordan Travis. I'm taking Florida State this week. Let's see what we got here in the chat. We got Florida State. Matt's got Florida State. Let's see. Coleman's got Florida State. Shannon's got Florida State. Sam Morris is taking your Gators. So she's not going to say go Gators.
I can understand how you all can be duped by a terrible university.
Oh, stop it. All right, let's move on to the last college game we're going to pick. It's not Washington, Washington State. It is a showdown of the state of Oregon, number 11, Oregon State, on the road at number 6, Oregon. Now, again, I don't know if this line has moved. I probably should have done a little more prep work for the show. Not that
I'm going to look for you, Ryan. I'll look for you. Go ahead.
Oregon, a 13.5-point favorite at home over an Oregon State team that is pushing teams to the limit. I mean, they are a phenomenal football team. I may even have the rankings wrong since they did the updated ranking. Oregon State's number 16 in the country. I believe they lost to Washington last week.
They did. So,
all right. Since you're from the Pacific Northwest, Andy, I'm going to let you take this. Oregon State, who you got here?
Oh, boy. I didn't know the Civil War was switched to the rivalry series.
The Civil War.
That was kind of crazy. I always thought it was Civil War. Yeah, that's what I think. It's like, what the heck? But, no, I think this is going to be a really good game. Oregon State, you know, coming off the loss against Washington, a really tough game, losing by two. They had an opportunity to win the game. I'm going to stay over Oregon on this and go with the Beavers.
Wow. Wow.
I love the upset.
Telling you.
Bill, who you got here?
DJ, help me out, Ryan. You always have to help
me. Uiagalelei.
Thank you, because good gracious. No way. You're wrong, Andy. No way that Oregon loses this game. Oregon, I think, is the one-loss team in the country that could possibly win the national championship. I do believe that Oregon is that good. I think if Oregon had played Washington on their field, they would have beat them pretty handily. So I think Oregon takes this game running away from Oregon State.
Andy, I hate to do this to you. Yeah, listen. Oregon is one of those teams that are trying to prove why they deserve to be in the college football playoff. They need to win out, which means they need to win this game. They need to win their conference over Washington in order to get into the college football playoff. And I don't think that Oregon's going to win by 13.5. So in fairness, I am going to take Oregon State to cover, but Oregon wins this game. There's no way they don't. But I think that Oregon State might surprise them and make this again. It's rivalry weekend. The games tend to be closer than they normally are. So give me Oregon State to cover, but give me Oregon to win this game. Let's go into the chats and see some more. We got Volley Polly's coming in late saying take Michigan to cover. Matt Buck taking Oregon. We got Oregon carving them up from Shannon Smith. Sam taking the home team. The Civil War is the legit name. Go Ducks. Coleman, a Clemson fan, likes to see GJU have a phenomenal season. So that would include a win. And yeah, I'm with Shannon, the Cat Cave all over again. All right, let's go over to the NFL games here. We are picking Thanksgiving and Black Friday games because they have never had a Black Friday game before. Let's start off Thanksgiving. The 12:30 kickoff game. I'm going to call them my Detroit Lions since they're 8-2. I'm kidding. I was going to call them my Detroit Lions. Detroit Lions hosting the Green Bay Packers, a 7.5-point favorite. I should mention, before I pick this game, Amy Lynn Wickman reached out on Facebook and wanted a Lions-Packers injury report for this game. So the Packers are banged up. Let's go over here real quick. You got tight end Luke Musgraves for Green Bay is now out. He's been placed on IR, the injured reserve, with an abdomen injury. They will not confirm, but Sports Illustrated is reporting that he had a lacerated kidney and kept playing with it last week.
Oh.
Linebacker Devondre Campbell did not practice on Tuesday. He is still questionable for this game. Tight end fullback Josiah DeGuara is doubtful with a hip injury. Aaron Jones, again, sprained MCL. He is out. He did not practice this week. We are looking at wide receiver Dontavian Wicks is out with a concussion and a knee injury. He is still questionable. Running back Emmanuel Wilson is out, and he was placed on IR. Running back A.J. Dillon, the backup to Aaron Jones, is questionable with a groin injury. So the Packers banged up, started the week with 17 players on the injury report. When you go to the Lions side, only one player is on the injury report listed as not going to play, and that's guard Jonah Jackson with a wrist injury. C.J. Gardner-Johnson placed on the injury reserve with a pectoral muscle injury, will not return from IR in this game. So only one player injured for the Lions going into this game. So let's go back to make the pick here. Thanksgiving game, Packers at Lions, 7.5-point favorite. The Lions, I believe, have lost 6 straight Thanksgiving games. And I'm going to pick this game first, and I'm taking the Lions to do it. But listen, the Packers miraculously beat the Chargers last week. It's not going to happen. The Lions are hungry. They're out to prove a point. They're out to break this Thanksgiving game a losing streak. Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be eating a turkey leg on the sidelines after the game. I can't wait to watch this game. I've got my Lions jersey upstairs hanging, ready to go to my mom's house tomorrow. Give me the Lions. Bill, I'm going to go to you next. Who you got? Packers at Lions. Lions favored by 7.5.
Ryan, you're crazy, man. 7.5 is so many points. I sat with you last Thanksgiving as your family graciously took my family in, and we had Thanksgiving with your family, and we sat and watched the Bills beat the Lions, shocked the Lions at the end. They couldn't pull it off. What'd you say, 6 in a row that they've lost?
6 in a row.
Man, that is a true Lions statistic, I tell you what. But you're right, Ryan. They changed it this season. They're going to cover. 7.5. Go Lions.
That's what I like to hear. Andy, who you got here? Packers, Lions.
Hey, I'm on board with that one too. I'm going to go with the Lions on that. They're a really good team. I think I'll play them right now. I think the Lions would probably want to kick the crap out of them probably. So
would have expected on this weekend of all weekends that we got South Carolina and the Detroit Lions across the board.
Stop it.
It makes me happy. All right, let's go to the chat here. Matt Buck's taking the Lions, as is Shannon Smith. Shannon also saying the Lions on Thanksgiving is a magical thing.
It is.
I'm sorry, that was Coleman Mullins taking the Lions.
It wasn't magical until the I don't mean to interrupt you, Ryan, but it is a magical thing. However, that was always the game that came first, and it does again this season. Do we know why? Because it was always the least competitive game of the weekend because the Lions always were terrible. So we had to get that one out of the way before we watched the good football.
I want to do so many things, but this is a family show. Sam wants to know who's a stronger survivor pick, Detroit or Miami. We'll get to that in a second. And then Pedro Guillen coming into the chat, Lions for sure. All right, let's go to the next Thanksgiving game here. The Washington Commanders, losers to the Giants last week and Tommy DeVito, are going to the Cowboys. 10.5-point home favorite. Andy, I'm going to let you start us off here. Thanksgiving Day, 4:30 kickoff, Commanders at Cowboys. Who you got?
I'm going to take the Cowboys on this one.
The line has changed, by the way.
What's the line now?
13.5.
Shut up. All right, Andy, I'm going to let you change your pick.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you change your pick if you want to. The Cowboys are 13.5-point favorite now. You still taking the Cowboys?
I'm going to still take the Cowboys on this one, I believe.
All right. Billy, you got here.
I concur, Andy. The Washington Commanders cannot play defense. They can't command anything in the secondary. So I think the Cowboys should score a lot of points on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't really think there's much more to say. I think the Washington is that bad. I think Dallas is that good. They cannot stop wide receivers. And we're going to talk about that here in fantasy football buys and sells here in a minute. But give me the Cowboys as well. All right, we got Sam Moore saying them boys. We had another Cowboys pick. Easy Cowboys win. And then Volley Polly a little late. Lions are eating turducken tomorrow. So, all right. I'm fighting back a cough here. Thanksgiving 8:20 kickoff, the third game of the night. The 49ers, a 6.5-point road favorite at Seattle. Andy, this is your team, man.
Yep.
The Seattle Seahawks hosting the Niners on Thanksgiving night. Who you got?
Oh, I got to go with the Seahawks on this one, man. They're playing at home. That's kind of a crazy tournament to be playing in. Geno Smith, we'll see what happens, you know, with his elbow being hurt. Hopefully it'll come back a little bit. But Brock Purdy for the Niners, man, that guy's pretty good. That guy's a really good quarterback and pretty loaded with talent. But it's kind of like going back to the Washington State, you know, Apple Cup. When these two teams come together, it's kind of like it's 0-0, right? I mean, their records are 0-0, and it's just hard to say who's going to come out. They're just going to go out and kick the crap out of each other and see what happens at the end. But I am going to take my Seahawks. I got to go with the Seahawks on this one.
All right, Bill, you lived in Washington for 18 years. Who you got? 49ers at Seahawks.
Well, I said Geno Smith's elbow is going to be okay, Andy. He is trending towards playing. He did participate limitedly in practice today, but he is trending towards getting the start on Thursday night. Brock Purdy, actually, the number one quarterback in the NFL right now, QBR and passer rating. It's absolutely absurd how good he's been this season. But I do think as well, Andy, that the Seahawks at home in – what do they call it now? Is it – I don't even know what it used to be. CenturyLink. Is it what is the stadium? Help me. Lumen. It's Lumen Field. Lumen. It had to come. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Lumen Field.
That place rocks, man. It is so loud there. It's going to be a nighttime game. It's going to be exciting. Seattle Seahawks take this one. And by the way, the line has moved, Ryan. It is up to 7 for the 49ers. So a 7-point line. I think that helps both Andy and I out. What say you, Ryan?
I swear. I took all these numbers yesterday.
I know.
They changed overnight on me.
Blame Vegas.
Listen, no Kenneth Walker in this game. Zach Charbonnet is going to get the bulk of the carries. Listen, the Niners are good. And when they're healthy, they're better. Brandon Ayuk had a career week last week. Deebo Samuel's there. Christian McCaffrey's there. Like you said, Brock Purdy is statistically QBR and all that stuff, the best quarterback in the NFL. Give me the Niners to win this game and win by at least 10. Sure that's going to make Shannon Smith happy. Let's look over in the comments here. Let's see. Matt Buck saying Seahawks win in cover. Shannon Smith, you know, he's going Niner gang.
Was that Brock Purdy's UCL joint making that bang bang noise? I can't hear you.
As is Sam Morris bang bang. Even Coleman saying Purdy and the Niners pull it out. And Trey Tolles also thinks Niners take it. So the audience seems to like San Francisco in this game.
Hey,
meanwhile, Andy and the two people that lived in Washington are taking the Seahawks. Let's go to the last game. Listen, the first ever Black Friday NFL game to be played. Black Friday, 3 p.m. The Dolphins. Did this line move too? The Dolphins were a 9.5-point favorite at the Jets.
It's still 9.5, Ryan.
All right, Bill. This is your team, man. I'm going to let you go first here. Dolphins, 9.5-point favorite. We also don't know who's going to be playing quarterback for the Jets.
Yes, we do.
It's not Zach Wilson.
It's not Zach Wilson.
And it's not Joe Flacco. Who's the quarterback for the Jets? It's not Joe
Flacco. I'm pretty sure his name.
Tim Boyle. Tim Boyle is going to be the starter.
Correct. He played some time with, I think, the Packers 4 seasons ago.
Okay. Maybe followed Voldemort
over to the Jets. I have no idea. Basically, they're benching Zach Wilson because he's awful. They finally opened their eyes and saw that after this many seasons, and so they're benching him. And now they're just going to play somebody. They're like, "Nah, he can't be worse." Miami are 9.5-point favorites, and the only reason this makes me nervous is the spread. I think I can't even imagine. Miami's had a great defense here recently, but 9.5 points against that Jets team, it's hard to score 9.5 points against that Jets team. They somehow keep everybody under wraps, but I think Miami still covers in. Miami wins this and covers the 9.5. But it's gonna be brutal. The only reason they're gonna cover it is because the Jets aren't gonna score.
All right, Andy, who you got? Dolphins 9.5 point favorite on the road at the Jets.
Yeah, I gotta take the Dolphins on this one, man. They're just a really good team. And now you got Tim Boyle, who I didn't even know who it was since I had to look him up to see where he went to college and how long he's been in the league. There's a fifth year and coming out of Eastern Kentucky. I'm like, wow, okay. Mm-hmm. He's like 7 for 14, 33 yards and one interception so far, right? So it's like to match him up against the Dolphins is going to be really, really tough. It'd have to be a miracle. Like, you know, I don't know. Listen, it's kind of, but I'm going to take the Dolphins on this one. So
I'm with both of y'all. Listen, if Tim Boyle wasn't good enough to take over the Jets starting quarterback job until now, he can't be that good either.
100%. Good call.
The Jets have a really good defense, but the Dolphins offense is better. Give me the Dolphins to cover this 9.5. Andy, this has been awesome. I'm so glad I reached out to you to do podcast pick-ems with us this week. Is there anybody you want to give a shout-out to before we say goodbye to you for the evening?
Yeah. God, just you guys, man. Thanks for having me on, man. I miss you guys a whole big bunch. You know, I want to go on another cruise. We can hang out and drink all day long. You know?
Hey, I'm on vacation. That's right.
I'm on vacation. I'm going to get a shirt. That when we go back on our next cruise, it's going to be I'm on vacation shirt. That's what I'm going to have. So
yeah.
It'll be good.
He's going to bring one for everybody. Everybody's going to be wearing an I'm on vacation shirt. We'll be one of those cute little like
we'll have the whole boat saying we're on vacation. Come on.
That's fantastic. Cool. Andy, we'll talk to you soon, man. Thanks so much for being here, bud.
Peace out, guys. See ya.
Andy Hunter from the Pacific Northwest.
Love that guy. Love that
good
guy.
Good stuff, man. We're going to take our final break. We're running late, so we appreciate everybody
joining
with us. We're going
to go fast. We'll go fast through fact and crap.
Yeah, we will. A couple quick things. Let's see. Matt Buck says he doesn't live in Washington, I guess because he's pulling for Seattle. And it looks like consensus for Dolphins. Everybody's taking the Dolphins.
Hope so.
This week. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, we're going to go buys and sells, fact or crap, and we're going to answer some of your questions that you asked on social media about fantasy football this coming weekend. Stay tuned. We'll be right back right here on Tap Outs and Touchdowns.
Established in 2008, One Stop Repairs in North Charleston, South Carolina is your one-stop shop for all of your electronic repair needs. Specializing in cell phones, tablets, computers, laptops, and game consoles, One Stop Repairs offers reputable and quality service with the quickest turnaround time and the most competitive prices in the Lowcountry. You can find them on Google with an exceptional 4.9 star rating or on Facebook by searching for One Stop Repairs. Call for a quote today at 843-343-6310. That's the number one, One Stop Repairs.
All right, everybody, we are back. Tap Outs and Touchdowns, live football episode. Your guy, Billy Rye, alongside Banker Bill. And we are finally going to get to our fantasy football buys and sells factor crap. Listen, last week was not a good week for either one of us. Even Bill on a boat couldn't do better than me. 2-6 for both of us last week. We are going to do better for you this week. None of my sells panned out from last week, but we are going to do better for you this week, and we're going to start off at quarterback as I try to get us away from the new intro music that I'm trying out here on the show.
I really don't like that song. I'd come up with a better one.
Well, I don't care. I don't
do you
care
like that
what
song?
You like. Yeah.
It's almost like it's as bad as Sandstorm.
I could have just let it kept playing in the background and just like they do on you know, what is it, NFL Live. Because it's just like suspenseful football music. I don't know what to tell you.
All right.
Bullies buys fantasy football week 12. Let's start off at the quarterback position. My quarterback buy is Tua Tagovailoa.
Fact.
19.7 projected. Bill's not even letting me get it out. Listen, there's not much to say. No, the Jets rank 11th against opposing quarterbacks, but Tua's only missed his current projection four times all season, albeit twice in the last four games. But those games were on the road against top teams in the NFL, both in Philadelphia and at the Chiefs. Listen, we talked about the fact that we think the Dolphins are going to win big in this game. I like Tua this week. Bill, you're saying fact on this one as well.
Yes.
All right, let's go over to running back, as I'm producer and all this stuff on the show here, trying to
play that music. It's terrible.
You play the. I mean, I can.
Don't.
You know what?
Please don't.
Oh. Just. I was gonna do it just for you. All right. My running back bye goes to Derrick Henry, projected 15.2 points. Listen, he has been bad this season. I'm not sure there's much more to say other than the fact that he plays the Panthers, allowing the second most points to opposing running backs. The last 2 weeks, he's had a combined 21 carries. But this Panthers team lets running backs go wild. Even a struggling Tony Pollard, myself from last week, averaged 5.1 yards per carry and found the end zone. I really like Derrick Henry this week. Bill, what say you? Fact or crap on Derrick Henry?
Crap. Two bad weeks in a row, and that coincides with, well, they changed their quarterback. So what I'm thinking is people are stacking the box and not letting Derrick Henry beat them and making Will Levis beat them, and I think they're going to continue to do that.
I mean, I'm enjoying the separation here, because I think that he's going to get on track, or at least this week, then he can bench him the rest of the season. A wide receiver that I'm buying, DJ Moore, projected 14.4 fantasy points. The Bears get a Vikings defense that just allowed 16 points to Cortland Sutton and 11 to Jerry Jeudy back in week 11, and are giving up the eighth most points to wide receivers on the season against a pretty decent Lions defense last week. DJ Moore, in his first game back with Justin Fields, targeted 9 times, put up 23 fantasy points last week. It's a no-brainer. You're starting DJ Moore this week. Bill, what say you?
Fact. I agree with this one. And for all the reasons you just said, he's beat it 4 out of 11 times, but he beats it more when Justin Fields is playing in the game. Justin Fields likes this guy. Put him in the game.
Yeah, Fields is back. Tyson Badgett, whatever his name is, yes, back on the sidelines. All right, my tight end I'm buying this week goes to TJ Hockenson, projected 13 fantasy points. Playing the Bears, you know, we just talked about DJ Moore playing the Vikings. Playing the Bears is TJ Hockenson, giving up the fourth most points to opposing tight ends. He's got a point to prove after being unable to reel in a couple of passes that could have potentially led the Vikings to beat the Broncos last week. He saw a mere 7 targets after last week, or 7 targets last week after getting 15 the week prior. I don't see another 30-point outing like he had against the Saints, but I do see a big week for Hock and the Vikings. Bill, what say you? TJ Hockenson, 13 points.
I also believe this was a fact. He's beaten the prediction 4 out of the last 5 games, and he's playing Chicago, who is the 29th worst team against tight ends. So I say yes, he will beat 13.0 points.
All right, there's your bullies buys. I don't think we've ever gotten through it that quick. Let's get into bully sells here, and I'm starting off with quarterback Justin Herbert of the LA Chargers. We talked about the fact that the Chargers have struggled, and he's got a tough matchup with the Ravens this week, allowing the second fewest points to opposing quarterbacks. Yes, he was involved in the shootout 2 weeks ago against the Lions, and last week really against the Packers, but the week prior to those two games against the Jets, 7 fantasy points, no touchdowns, under 150 passing yards. The Chargers are in shambles after yet another loss to a below-average Packers team, and I think it's about to boil over on the field. I don't like Herbert. I don't like the Chargers this week. Bill, what say you?
I can't believe you're going against Herbert. I cannot believe it. The third best quarterback right now, QBR-wise, in the NFL. And I'm going to fact you on this one, Ryan. 21.9 is a lot of points. Baltimore has a very good defense, and they've only given up this number twice in 11 games this season. I don't think Herbert can do it against Baltimore. I think this is a fact.
All right, let's go over to running back. And this is the quote-unquote low-hanging fruit here.
I wrote low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, Javonte Williams, running back for the Denver Broncos, projected 14.1 fantasy points. Listen, believe it or not, he's exceeded this projection in 2 of his last 3 games. There are people out there still starting him in fantasy, despite being held to single-digit fantasy points in all but 3 games this season, and he's yet to score a rushing touchdown on the year. The Broncos are also drawing the Browns, giving up the 10th fewest points to running backs. I hope that if you've had him rostered, that you haven't been forced to start him, because you don't need to do it this week. Bill, I'm guessing you're facting me on this.
Nope, I'm going to give you a crap on this one, Ryan. I think that he's going to do better than this, 14.1 points. I think he has to get in the end zone. That's what he's been doing 2 out of the last 3 games. He's been getting – one of the things that's really helped out Denver in this little run that they're having is Javonte Williams is actually getting more of the ball. And like you said, 2 out of the last 3 games, he's gotten over this prediction. Cleveland is actually up and down with their rushing defense. If you look at how many points they've given up to running backs over the course of the season, and there's one thing that's going to get him over this, Ryan, and he's going to get in the end zone. He's going to do it one time, and then you're done. Sorry, buddy.
All right. We shall see. Let's go over to wide receiver sell this week. I'm selling Ja'Marr Chase. He's projected 16.5. Again, sort of more low-hanging fruit here, but Joe Burrow out the rest of the year with a wrist injury last week. Chase was held to 2 receptions for 12 yards, but he did find the end zone, giving him a mere nine fantasy points. Without Joe Burrow playing at the top of his game, Ja'Marr Chase has been an utter disappointment this year, as he's failed to meet his current projection in 6 of the 10 games he's played in this season. Until someone can come in and look exactly like primetime Joe for this team, I don't like Ja'Marr Chase's chances for the rest of the season, much less this week, even with a good matchup against the Steelers, allowing the 9th most points to wide receivers. You don't have a choice but to start him, but just know he's not going to score more than 16 points this week. Bill, what say you?
It's a fact. It's pretty wild if you look at how Ja'Marr Chase has scored his points over the season, Ryan. He's actually gone where he's gone crazy in a game, then the next game is bad. And it's consistently that way. It's consistently inconsistent, Ryan. That's authentic.
Love that. Yeah.
But yes, that's 100%. That's how the season's gone. This is supposed to be an up game, but again, who's throwing to him? I mean, you said he's going up against the Steelers, which is terrifying because you've got a great coaching staff there that's just going to take him out of the game. And then they know that that's going to be the best option. Throw to your best player on the field if you're a young quarterback that hasn't played much before. They're just going to take him away. So I don't think he gets over 16.5.
All right, I'm with you. All right, let's go to my tight end sell for this week. Jake Ferguson of the Dallas Cowboys projected 11.2 fantasy points on Thanksgiving Day. He's broken this projection in 3 of his last 4 games. But in a blowout win against the Panthers last week, he nabbed 3 catches for 32 yards. No touchdowns, only 5 targets. The last 3 weeks where he beat his projection, it all included a touchdown reception. Despite somehow losing to the Giants last week, the Commanders are in the top half of the league when it comes to opposing tight ends in fantasy, but they are giving up the 3rd most points to wide receivers. I see a big game for both CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Cooks in this game on Thanksgiving. Not so much for Jake Ferguson. Bill, what say you?
How can you do this, Ryan? How can you do this to your boy? I can't understand you. I can't understand you sometimes. I say crap on this, Ryan. He's beaten this 3 out of the last 4 games. Dak Prescott, did you know Dak Prescott's the 2nd best quarterback in the NFL right now? Did you know that? I bet you didn't know that. I looked it up today. Dak Prescott is on fire right now, pal. And he's going to continue to do that. Jake Ferguson is one of his boys, and he's going to get him in the end zone this week. Therefore, he will beat an easy 11.2 prediction.
Hey, Bill, I know you said he's the number 2 quarterback in the league.
QBR.
QBR, how many passing yards did he have last week against the Panthers? Do you remember? Do you know?
It doesn't matter. QBR.
It does.
QBR
takes into a whole bunch of other stuff.
I've actually changed my tune.
QBR does not translate to fantasy points. He had 189 passing yards last week.
Yes, it does. QBR takes running into account as well. The passer rating is all about throwing the ball. QBR has all kinds of crazy stuff like EPA and, you know, running yards and points over expected, all kinds of crazy stuff. But anyway, Dak Prescott,
I'm taking what you're saying. I'm putting it in a ball and I'm throwing it away.
That's why you're a Gamecocks fan.
I swear to God. All right.
No, there was the business. Terrible.
All right. Bullies buddies questions from the social medias. Bullies Roger Hamrick.
Buddies.
Yeah. I brought that in last week. Bullies buddies. Questions.
Oh my gosh.
Online.
How embarrassing.
Roger Hamrick wants to know Brandon Ayuk against the Seahawks or Michael Pittman versus the Bucks. Bill, any thoughts on this?
Oh, hang on a second. I got all excited about how bad the Gamecocks are. Let me look real quick.
I was going to say, I've got my notes here. Ayuk is playing at Seattle.
Oh, I do have this.
Pittman one is playing against the Bucks, ranks 4th against wide receivers. Listen, Ayuk is not going to duplicate what he did last week, but he is the better option here. I'm starting Ayuk.
And crazily enough, Michael Pittman is going up against the same team that Ayuk torched last week.
That's, you know what? I had it wrong in my notes. I had Pittman. I'm taking Pittman.
Oh, okay.
Excuse what I said.
That's why I said,
is
really?
Not, yeah. Ayuk is not going to do what he did last week.
I went up an octave for my surprise there, Ryan.
Yeah. I'm taking Pittman. So if you're watching the show,
right. Pittman for me is
Roger. Yeah. We're both taking Pittman here. Sam, who's been active in the chat tonight, wants to know Jerry Jeudy versus the Browns, Gabe Davis at the Eagles, or Jaxon Smith-Njigba against the 49ers. Bill, you want me to take this first or you want to take
it? Sure. I'll take it. Jeudy versus Cleveland, so no. Gabe Davis blanked in the last 2 of the last 3 games. Blanked. We're talking nothing. That's what? I can do that in the NFL. Oh, I do that in the NFL. So I played the last 2 or 3 games for Gabe Davis, and so no. He was much better earlier in the season when that offense could figure out what they were doing. Smith and Jigba looks like the best, but Geno is hurt. But I'd still probably go with Smith and Jigba on this one. He's been playing pretty well lately.
I'm going to give you a Lee Corso not so fast.
Uh-oh.
Listen, first of all, I'm with you, Jerry Jeudy. Don't start him.
No.
He hasn't been consistent all year. He only had 10 points last week. I'm not taking Jerry Jeudy. But Smith and Jigba, you talked about the fact that that Geno Smith is hurt. I know the Niners are giving up the 8th most points to wide receivers, but Njigba is the third option on this team behind Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf.
True.
Gabe Davis. Now, granted, Dalton Kincaid has come in and been a very good number two target. But the Eagles are giving up the most points to wide receivers in fantasy.
Are you about to pick a guy that hasn't scored in two of the last three games?
I'm taking Gabe Davis. I'm going on a limb and I'm taking Gabe Davis.
This is why your fantasy teams are terrible.
I'm number three in my if we had more time. If we had more time, I would.
Ryan, do you know who we're playing in the Tap Outs and Touchdowns League this week?
We are?
Each other.
I can't wait to effing destroy you. I can't wait. Okay. That's going to be my Homer's Corner next week.
7-4 versus 8-3.
Fantasy football.
Yeah.
All right, let's look. Let's go over. Sam, Bill said Smith and Jigba, but I said Gabe Davis. Take that advice for what it's worth. We do have a couple comments real quick. Oh, and now she's still torn. Yeah, we helped her.
We didn't help
in
at all.
No way, shape, or form. Listen,
that's terrible.
Honestly, if you want to take Smith and Jigba, Smith and Jigba is a safer bet than Gabe Davis, but I like Gabe Davis this week. So if you want to be safe, take Jackson Smith and Jigba, but you might have to be upset if Gabe Davis finds the end zone. All right, Volley Polly coming to the chat or coming to Facebook.
Does, right? Big play, Gabe.
Yeah. Volley Polly, he wants to know Jordan Addison against the Bears, Lockett against the Niners, or Olave against Atlanta. He also mentioned a lot about projections in this, and I'm going to start us off here. Do not pay attention to projections. I like to pay attention to matchups and how whether they're playing strong defenses, whatever the case may be, but I never pay attention. We talk about buys and sells on the show based on points projected. So I'm not looking at whether or not they're projected 14 points, whatever the case is, as to whether or not I'm going to start them. I've started guys that were projected 8 points that put up 17 when I had a guy that I left on my bench that was projected 16 that scored 4. Okay. Don't worry about projections versus reality.
So what Ryan's doing is, even though our buys and sells are based on projections, don't pay attention to any of that.
You just did that. No. I'm saying in a sense of like starting, like don't start and sit based on if you think that's just because Jordan Addison may be projected for more points than Tyler Lockett. If you feel like Tyler Lockett's got a better matchup, play Tyler Lockett. I mean, that's essentially a buy and sell.
True.
If you don't think Jordan Addison is going to meet his projection, you think Lockett's going to exceed it, you start Lockett. That's true. The point.
All right, so go with this one. Let's hear it.
Yeah, so listen, Addison's playing the Bears are 16th against receivers. We just talked about Smith and Jigba with the Niners giving up the 8th most points. Olave is playing the Falcons, giving up the 9th fewest points to receivers. I mentioned that Smith and Jigba was the third option for the Seahawks. Lockett is number two. Give me Tyler Lockett, man. I'm starting Lockett over these two guys. Bill, what would you say?
I agree with – so this is a weird one because I think Lockett's got the most boom, probably, but he's also super inconsistent. You're going to get a Gabe Davis game out of him. You're either going to get him in the end zone or you're going to get nothing. And so that for that reason, I don't like Lockett here. I think the best receiver in this group is Olave. I've picked him before. He put up 9 points. I know he's going against the Falcons. I know it's a tough matchup. It's a tough matchup. They're the 9th best against wide receivers. But Addison is down. He had some really good games middle of the season. Since Dobbs has been there, he's not throwing at Addison that often. I like Olave. If I'm looking for consistent points where I don't feel like I'm going to get blanked, I put Olave in the game.
Well, if you want to listen to me, you take Lockett. Listen to Bill. Take Olave. We also forgot to mention, I'm glad Sam said something about it. Who's the stronger pick for a Survivor? If you don't know Survivor Pool, you pick one team each week.
Is that covering the spread?
It's just win or lose.
Straight up,
win or lose. Who is the stronger pick? Who do you feel stronger about winning their game this week, the Lions or the Dolphins? It's a really good question.
Yeah, it's tough, man, because the Lions are at home. Golly. Man, you can't go wrong. Look down the road.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's what I look down the road. So what? One of them you're not going to be able to use again. So if the Dolphins have whatever coming up, and so do the Lions. You're going to have to predict here, but they're both going to win.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm taking the Lions this week because the Dolphins get another game against the Jets. I believe they get another game against the Patriots. So save the Dolphins for later in the season. Save the Dolphins for later because they played the Bills twice already.
No, I think they played the Patriots twice.
Are you sure?
No.
No, of course not.
I don't know.
We're late.
I know they play the Ravens.
All right, let me look up the Dolphins schedule real quick. So we're really going into this for you, Sam. So
yeah, this is deeper than probably the fantasy picks.
Yeah. So you've got the Jets, the Commanders, the Titans, the Jets again, the Cowboys, the Ravens, and the Bills.
Listen, the Dolphins when they play the Commanders. That's a guarantee.
Or you either the Commanders or you get the Jets again in Week 15 at home. So you can play the Dolphins against the Jets. Yeah, the
Commanders can't play. I mean, you could. Let's see. The Lions have the Packers, Saints, Bears, Broncos. I would pick the Dolphins this week because you can use the – at any point the rest of the season, you can use the Lions.
Well, listen, I said the same thing about – except for the Ravens and the Bills. I said the same about – listen, we helped you. We did not help you at all tonight, Sam, and I sincerely apologize for not being able to
pick
help
either
you.
One. Pick either one. It's a knockout thing.
Either way, you get to use the other one again this season, and you can't go wrong because they both have easy games. All right.
Yeah.
We are to my favorite part of the show, even though we are 11 minutes past the hour, so I appreciate everybody staying along with us late here. Bill, I'm going to let you start us off since you're returning from your cruise with your topic for Homer's Corner, and you're talking about the Dolphins' defense with the return of Jalen Ramsey.
That's right. We had like a top 26 defense. Now Jalen Ramsey's been back. Jalen Ramsey, by the way, is the player of the week in the AFC. Two interceptions against Las Vegas, including a walk-off interception, which was – I don't know if you guys saw the highlights of these things. They were stupid how good these interceptions were. Dolphins have a top 5 defense since he's been back. And that has got to scare the heck out of the NFL. They already have the number one offense. Now they're going to have a top 5 defense. That means things like playoffs, playoff wins. I won't say the special game that they would hope to play.
Playoffs.
But there was something released this week about the Dolphins. There are 3 locks in the NFL to make the playoffs this season. That is the Eagles, believe it or not. I think it was 3 or 4. It was actually the Eagles, Lions, Chiefs, and Dolphins that they consider locks in the NFL to make the playoffs this season. I'm excited, man. This is as crazy and as good as the Miami Dolphins have been for as long as I can remember. If not the best team we've ever had.
You just called the NFC and AFC championship games because that's what it's going to be. Lions.
That's what it's going to be.
Eagles, Lions, Eagles, Chiefs, and Dolphins.
That's not a guess. That's what it's going to be.
That ain't no guess. That's what it's going to be.
I watched that movie last night.
I watched that movie last night. Oh, I hope everybody gets that reference.
That's some good
H2O. You know what my Homer's Corner is going to be about. I'm rocking the gear tonight.
Please tell me it's not about female basketball again.
No, even though they are unanimous number one in the country after doing what I said they did a couple weeks ago. And the men's team is 5-0. They won a tournament out west, out in Arizona.
There you go.
So, but no, I'm not talking about men's and women's basketball. South Carolina's bowl eligibility.
Oh, I thought you were going to say bowling. I thought you were going to say bowling. No. I was like, really, dude? Come on.
All right. I swear.
Continue. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Got it. Rides or dies with a win against our arch rival Clemson this Saturday. Last season, with probably a more complete roster, the South Carolina Gamecocks finished the last 2 weeks of the season knocking both Tennessee and Clemson out of college football playoff contention. They did not do that this year, because we lost to all the top 15 to top 20 teams that we played, and we've beaten everybody else that we were supposed to beat, except for Florida. We'll give you that. And Jacksonville State, that everybody complained about struggling to get that win. Jacksonville State has 8 wins on the season now. 8 wins. They're not a bad football team, and we beat them by 10. Even with a pick 6 to put the game away, we still won that game. Kentucky was a top 10 or top 20 team early in the season until they hit their gauntlet of Georgia and the other top teams, Tennessee, et cetera, et cetera.
Missouri.
So South Carolina has a really banged up offensive line. They're out two or three running backs. Right now it has been said that Spencer Rattler will walk on senior day, as will running back Mario Anderson, Xavier Leggett. But news broke this week that Juice Wells, our number one receiver coming into the season, who has missed all but 3 games with a foot injury this year, is coming back to college next season. I believe he's already used his waiver free transfer where he doesn't have to sit the following year. So we get him back this year. He will not play this weekend, but our running game somehow is seemed to be doing better. Mario Anderson has got some momentum going. Xavier Leggett, banged up and all, is getting all over the field on everybody. I mean, Rattler to Leggett has been really fun to watch this year. And granted, saying all this, Clemson figured it out when Tyler from Spartanburg decided to call and antagonize Dabo Swinney on a radio show. But as much as Bill said he's not watching this game because he's watching the other better games and that nobody cares about this game outside of the state of South Carolina, this is my personal Super Bowl because the Panthers have only been to two and the Lions haven't been to one since I've been alive. Okay. I am really excited for this game. If anybody knows of anybody with an extra ticket that they are selling for less than $100, because I was a season ticket holder and a Gamecock Club member, I know what face value is on this ticket. And I'm not paying you $150 to $250 to go watch the game. So if anybody knows anybody that's willing to get rid of a ticket for $100 or less, let me know. Otherwise, I'm really excited for this game. I'm not making any monetary bets. But anybody want to make a prop bet with me, you know where to find me on social media. And my personal page, or you can go to Tap House and TDs and send a message.
Are you soliciting illegal gambling, Ryan?
It's not illegal gambling. It's prop bets.
Oh.
There ain't nothing illegal about I got to put a Clemson profile picture on my Facebook if we lose.
Oh, we should have done that.
Yeah. Well, you don't have a care. You don't have a Clemson shirt to make me wear.
I have this.
Oh, you have that. Of course you do. Of course you do. Bill, before we sign off, is there anybody that you would like to shout out before we get off the fly football show?
Super cool. And looking forward to everyone having a great and wonderful Thanksgiving. This should air tomorrow, right? On all the podcasts.
I'm posting it tonight. And you might fantastic. Want to start over because I tried to play that music and it covered up your mic.
Put this on during your turkey eating and you will enjoy Thanksgiving even more. But everyone, happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'll second that as well. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. This has been a really fun show. Thanks for everybody who participated. There are too many names to count. My mom came in late, which is not surprising to me. I will see her tomorrow.
So mean.
I'm not mean. You're mean.
You're mean.
Talking all over my Homer's corner and all that stuff. Listen,
I got to keep you real, Ryan. That's all.
Well, thanks to everybody who showed up and showed out and participated in the conversation. Thanks to all of the new followers that we have on the Facebook page. Invite your friends. We are 3/4 of a way to 1,000. I would love to get to 1,000 followers before the end of football season this year. I don't know what we'd do to celebrate, but
we'll take a break.
Yeah, then we'll take a break on you.
Yeah.
No, thanks to all the new followers. Thanks to everybody who watched the show live with us tonight. Thanks for everybody who participated. And to second Banker Bill's sentiments, happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Please be safe. Continue to try to be healthy. If you're sick, stay home. Enjoy your great meals, the time with your friends and family, and hopefully you enjoy the show as much as you will enjoy your Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow. For Banker Bill, it's your guy Bully Rye. Thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see you next time right here on Tap House and Touchdowns.